on this November the 6th, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth, your internet pastor, PJ, here for the weekend. Let's listen to a little Cannonball Adderley from an album called Something Else. Oh man, back in the day when music was music. This nice number is Dancing in the Dark. And you know what? Sometimes I think I'm dancing in the dark when I go to that college every day. Never know what I'm going to confront. I'm always giving out assignments, things for them to do, to complete, for them to understand fluidly what philosophy is all about. One of the guys that we study every semester was a Dominican priest, St. Thomas Aquinas. If you're Catholic, you know about him. He was a Dominican priest, a theologian, a philosopher. He was called Dr. Angelicus. Aquinas was considered to be one of the greatest Christian philosophers to have ever lived. And if you ever have a mind to, you can read two of his famous works. One was the Summa Theologiae, and the other one was the Summa Contra Gentiles, which was the finest examples of his work on Christian philosophy. You've got to just feel that, to know that. Now, if you don't like philosophy, this particular webcast may not be one for you. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Aquinas, and then you'll understand why I'm raising him. Aquinas believed that you can argue for the existence of God in five ways. Now, those of you that claim to be Christians, you should love the conversation because you're going to want to hear what Aquinas had to say about it, but it's not Thomas that I want you to focus in on. I ask the students in my Philosophy 1 class for extra credit. I ask them to look at the third of the five ways, which is contingent and necessary objects. And I ask the student to answer the questions that I'll pose, and so that you can understand their answers. What I found in this one student, a man, I don't know who he is. When he comes up to get his paper, I'm going to look deeply into his eyes. And for those of you that are Christians out there that go to church and everything like that, I want to say this right now. This young man has not darkened a church door. And in me teaching this philosophical lesson to my students, whom in most cases have never really ventured into knowing what philosophy is all about, I want you to hear how I believe God, as he speaks through Cannonball saxophone, that God spoke through this young man. And I'm going to read his treatise to you, and so that you can join me in this wonderful, thank you, Cannonball. That was excellent. I love good jazz, Dancing in the Dark. And that's what we think our youngsters are doing, don't we? Oh, just give them an assignment, Professor. You know what you have to do. You have to stack the books. Keep the coffers going to the bank as the wasteless, useless students take these meaningless classes that have no meaning to it at all. Listen to how one young lad answered the question. Those of you that can think, you will understand why I did this. The special assignment paper was based upon a five-part question. Each part of the question was worth a value of 20 points. Each student had to answer each part of the question during the time allotted, and they could take it home because I didn't want to bleed their brains. And then I said, if you did not fulfill this assignment, your paper will be graded accordingly. In other words, it's a five-part question, 20 points to each part of the question. You miss any particular point of it based upon how I asked the question, you're deducted. And this was given to give them 100 points because they did not score enough on their first paper. to pass the course. And I, as a philosopher, must give my students a second chance to embed themselves. And so I chose one of Aquinas's five ways to prove the argument for God. If you know anything, you know the first way was an argument from motion. In other words, something started to move something. The second way was a causation of existence. That's why it says there exist things that are caused by other things. Nothing can be a cause of itself because nothing can create itself. The third aspect goes like this. There cannot be an endless string of objects continuously causing other objects. Therefore, there had to be an uncaused first cause called God. Now, that moves us down into the third way, which is contingent and necessary objects. Let me explain it to you. This way defines two types of objects in our universe. A contingent object, okay, like a contingent being and a necessary being. You were the contingent being and the necessary being was your parent. And you can take that all the way back, all the way back, all the way back. Well, Aquinas took it all the way back to God because he said that a contingent being is an object that cannot exist without necessarily causing its existence. So Aquinas believed that the existence of contingent beings would ultimately necessitate a being, watch this, which must exist for all other contingent beings to exist. What an argument. So I asked a student to basically tell me what they thought Aquinas meant by that. And I'm going to read this young man's paper. And I want you to follow along. I will pause, put in my adjectives as I read this. Because after I read the paper the first time, of course, the lad got 100 points because he answered correctly from his heart. And this is a Philosophy 1 class. I do not preach in the class, but we have to discuss, is there a God? And that's how I present it. Listen to his answer. All right. Because I asked in the first part of the question, I said, please define what Aquinas was saying in plain terms. And in so doing, give me an example of the argument. Make sure that it cannot be refuted. He writes and he says, in Aquinas' explanations on contingent and necessary objects, I've concluded that I am a contingent being. I am a contingent being because I was caused into the world by my parents. See, so he's using the causal argument here in disguise. I love that. And then he says, this is because Aquinas also states a contingent being is an object that cannot exist without a necessary being causing its existence. Then he says, my parents are my necessary being for my existence. However, who were my parents' necessary being? Who were the ones before them and way beyond? And then the student says, Aquinas explains that the almighty necessary being is God. Then he says, God is the ultimate necessitate. This is why Aquinas says, not every being can be contingent. And then the student goes on and says, God is basically the... Wait, let me pause. This is not a seminary. This is not... No, I do not... I have never lifted up a Bible. I don't be quoting scripture in the classroom. I'm asking a simple question, and I'm presenting a man's argument. The students know that I'm a theist, as a philosopher, no doubt about it. I'm not... But listen to... This boy answers better than the students that I had in the church when I pastored people. Do you get my point? Listen to this. God is basically the one above all, and is just cause nothing. Oh, and there's just because there was nothing before him, and everything here is because of him. Part two of the question. He says, Aquinas might have thought this probable because it shows and explains that is sometimes well, he wrote this by hand, so I'm going to have to skip that. The maker is commonly referred to as God, and Aquinas believes that God is the ultimate necessitate, which I would argue is true. Then the student said, I believe we all come from something greater that we all are. Now, this is a young man that said he doesn't go to church. I'll read his words. He said, of what we all are, contingent beings. He says, I am not excluding my parents because in reality, they are my necessary beings, and their parents before them are as well. But when that family line stops, then he says, who was the initial starter? Then he has a question mark. Then he says, that ultimately is God. Then in part three of the question, and I better read it to you or you wouldn't understand it, part three of the question reads like this. This being called a necessary being is what we call God. Follow the argument this way. If you do not believe in his argument, what does he mean by God, and how does he justify such a statement? Now, I'm asking these students this because they're taking philosophy one with me, and we have to go deep into this idea of what and who God is. The student says, I believe what Aquinas was trying to say about God was that he is the creator of all. He gives this necessary being the name God to better distinguish who he is talking about. Now, the student is absolutely correct. And then he says, the name God was also used by many people of his time. God is the creator of all things that are contingent beings. So the student got the main reason that I love teaching Aquinas. Because if the student gets this, man, this is good. And then he really blows my mind. He says, he has no ending and nothing came about before him. Let me say this to you, people that listen to me. I did not once make that statement in the classroom. Not once. And the student, you're going to hear the student say in the paper that he doesn't go to church. So where did he get that idea from? It's the idea that I've been promoting on my website for 2 or 3 years now. You people need to stop condemning people to hell. You need to stop being hard on these babies. These babies have the same love for God that we have, and the knowledge of his person, not only in their hearts, souls, and in their minds. Now listen to what the student says. And I'm especially talking to you hard-headed, numbskull Christians, or so-called Christians, that believe that only people like you are getting to heaven. That's the biggest joke that Satan ever told. But anyhow, let me continue. The student says he has no ending and nothing came before him. I do believe in Aquinas' argument about God, although I may not practice religion. See, and so the student says, I'm not even practicing religion, but the way I presented it in the classroom. See, and that's what I've been trying to tell you Christians to do. Would you stop trying to open up that Bible and preach? What? Nobody asked you to open up no Bible in no classroom and preach. Told you to just teach history. This is on the books. I got to teach it. That's right out of the book, the classroom book that I have. It's right there. Teach it. My students tell me that I'm one of the very few professors that has an interactive conversation with them. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be working there, but it's a joy to do that. If they got rid of me from teaching, who would I teach? What would I do? Who would know this? Wait a minute. Listen to what he says. He says, I believe that there is someone or something that is ultimately greater that started it all. Nothing just happens by itself. See, so this student knows that all this stuff, see, Darwinism doesn't even enter into the picture. Only a fool would believe that. Every human being knows that this didn't believe by itself. God did it. We call him by various names, but the same God that did this, how did this young man know that? Then he goes on. Because I get in part four of the question, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the webcast tonight. I've only been talking 15 minutes, gee whiz. Question number four reads like this. In our notes, we understand that Aquinas believed the following. Number one, contingent beings are caused. Number two, not every being can be contingent. Was he saying that which is moved by a greater mover? And if so, does he explain his reason? And if not, why is this unreasonable? Now, if you know anything about a philosopher and a philosopher's question, that's a four-part question. That's meant to throw the student into the land of oblivion because he could barely remember the first part of the question, let alone the last part. Mr. Coleman, how could you do that? Well, I got this for you, baby. They did it to me. I did it to you. But that's all right. I'm loving the teaching mode. Let's see how this young man answered that question. He says, Aquinas' argument was very similar to that which is moved by a greater mover. Aquinas was simply saying that we and a lot of everything else is a contingent being, and it was created by something far greater. And then he says this greater entity is what we know as, and as well as Aquinas knew as, God. See, so the student put we know, he's inclusive in that. So the student has a belief in God. Now, if you ever run into this student, I don't even know who he is. I've never seen his face. He said, this is just a paper from the many. And I'm not even going to mention this webcast to my students because I tell them to stay away from my webcast. And I doubt if the student would even listen to this. But maybe he would. I don't know. But anyhow, let me get back to that. He says, that which is moved by a greater mover. And then he says, I think this says, that's for an example can be explained. Oh, he says, yeah, listen to this. It can be explained as this illustration, as a bowling ball going down the lane, hitting the pins. The pins down the lane are the contingent objects. They are able to move, but only by something which is greater. That is the bowling ball, which is the necessary being. The bowling ball is the greater mover. This being said, Aquinas was arguably correct in his reasonings. Now, you see what happened. When the student put an illustration of the bowling ball hitting the pins, and the pins are the contingent objects, and the bowling ball is the mover, God, because the first day in class, I gave the example of me bowling, because I said, you know, nothing could be moved unless it was a mover. And the student recalled it and used it as an illustration. And listen, this being said, Aquinas was arguably correct in his reasoning. At that point, the student identifies his belief in Jehovah. Now, see, this is so precious because teaching, that is the benefit. That is why I teach. That is why I love to read all my students' paper. Because when I read it, I see that the lesson has been grasped. Now, let's look at question number five. Oh, it is beautiful doing this stuff. And if any of you ever want to teach, please don't start in grammar school. No. Don't go there. That's the parents' job. But I won't get into that. Question number five says, There must exist a being which is necessary to cause contingent beings. This necessary being is God. Then I asked, does Aquinas give a reason for this? If not, what is his rationale? All right. Let's see what he says in number 5. I believe Aquinas gave a reason for his sayings. However, his explanation could be a bit more. Now, by using that language, the student is also letting me know that he can use this inquisitive language and make his point. Because even though I don't know the students, listen to me, teachers, I'm at one with the boy. Because I know what he's talking about. Then he says, he states that there is a greater being, which I argue too. Okay. Then he says, however, I would still like to argue, how did the great being come about? How can the God be the only ultimate necessity? And I put after that, okay, because it's all right for you to think that way. Now, I know in Christianity they think that's blasphemy, and that's the problem in Christianity. You set in them pews, follow them damn pimps, give them all your money, and you've never had a theological discussion like this, because some of you listening to me for years still can't prove that there's a God. That's why you've never trusted nor believed in him. Now, let me end up this young man's treatise here. He says it could be that Aquinas gave such a saying during his time because of the other philosophers around him and him giving his argument. Yes, the student thought right. The student went all the way back to where Aquinas was in his day and age. He didn't bring it up here in 2015 because that's a different connotation of God and everything else living in this modern age. And then he says it can also be that he is explaining all of the little and the big things and the small meanings of the trees and the big meanings of us human beings. Now, when he ends up the essay with that, the young man shows me his sheer brilliance. That's why I can never let him know this is up on the website, because in making that statement, he laughs at humanity and the mere abject reasoning of trying to contend with the maker that made you because he wanted to, and there was nothing, not a damn thing that you could do about it, but to worship and praise him and acknowledge him. And if this paper is anything less than that, well, then, I don't know what's real then. I just don't. Thank you so much for coming by. I'm glad that you could spend your Friday evening with me. Oh, don't you just love teaching? I love it. I'm going to do it until I die. And I hope that you got something out of this webcast. Please come to my webcast as often as you can as you drive home from work. Come on. This is 23 minutes. You can leave the office, get in traffic, put the earplug in your ear. Come on, you got to go and buy a carton of milk for the kid, right? Well, do that. As for me, I'm going to refresh myself. It is Friday evening. I want to thank you so much for listening in. Allison's Uncle is the name of this tune. It's another Cannonball Adderley number. It's from that same album, Something Else. Hey, God bless you. You guys know the drill. If you want to read God's Word, read it. Get what it says. Apply it to your life. And don't put down another person because they won't go to your church. Why don't you try having a philosophical discussion with them and see if God will come out on top of it all after all of the back and forth? And guess what? I thank God that he gave me the ability to put that quiz together like that in order to read their quiz papers to see who the God lovers are. And I got some news for you. The government, if they're going to try to change us from that, got their hands full. Because most of the students got 100. Hey, God bless you. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.